This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Talia Schwartz. Dr. Schwartz is the president and CEO of Metro Plus Health. We're going to talk to her today about leadership, her journey to leadership, priorities, and advice for leaders. Dr. Schwartz, can I ask you to take a moment and introduce yourself, then I'll ask you a number of questions.
Of course. Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity. As mentioned, I'm Dr. Talia Schwartz, CEO and president of Metro Health Plus. I'm a pediatrician by training, and I have been with Metro Plus for the past 4 years as the chief medical officer for the first three, and in my current role for the past year.
And tell us a little bit about Metro Plus. Tell us a little bit about the system, et cetera, et cetera.
So Metro Plus Health Plan is New York City's plan. We are a wholly owned subsidiary by New York City Health and Hospitals. We have been around for about 35 years. We actually celebrated our 35th anniversary this year. We are servicing New Yorkers in New York City. So we are a dedicated plan just for New York City. So we know New York City as well as our own palm. We provide multiple types of coverage to our members. We provide government-sponsored plans such as Medicaid, Essential Plan, and Medicare, but we also provide commercial coverage such as QHP, and we cover city employees.
And Dr. Schwartz, now, when you started as a pediatrician, practicing, then moved into leadership and so forth, did you ever expect that you'd ever be president and CEO of a health plan? How unexpected was that?
100% unexpected. That was not what I had in mind when I went to med school. What I had in mind was to take care of patients. And as I did my residency and then started doing my fellowship, it was taking care of patients who are up to 18 years old. So it was very clear to me what I wanted to do. But as I started practicing, I had this need to do bigger things that had a larger impact than just a one-by-one individual impact. Not that it's not critical, of course, absolutely, but I had just this inherent desire to do things on a larger scale. So I started slowly shifting into that, going first through the consulting role, then population health role, product role, had a relatively short stint with a tech startup company, and then was offered the opportunity to be a chief medical officer for the plan, and thought that would be a phenomenal opportunity, and it truly turned out to be a phenomenal opportunity.
And let me ask you this. As a practicing physician, it was traditionally the health insurance company was thought of as sort of the dark side, the Darth Vader of healthcare. Now, that's a little bit different when you move into a health plan, you know, ran by a health system. That's a different view than sort of the insurance plan ran by the big, bad, you know, health insurance people. What have you learned, and how has your worldview changed over the last couple decades as you've moved from practicing physician into leading a health plan, albeit one that serves New York City and serves it through, you know, the public health system? How has your worldview changed in all this stuff?
Right. So I think there is a lot of misunderstanding and probably some gaps in knowledge in terms of what insurance plans actually do in general. And then specifically as it relates to Metro Plus Health, you're right. By virtue of being owned by a public health system, by virtue of being part of New York City, and by virtue of us serving a significant number of vulnerable New Yorkers, what we do goes way beyond managing efficiently and effectively healthcare access. We really, truly invest in our members, and the way that investment manifests itself is by us taking the social determinants of health angle into true action. So we are a plan who consistently looks beyond the medical needs of its members. Of course, it's critical. Of course, it's important for people to access care and be the healthiest they can. But we know from experience how critical other aspects are. So we actually have teams who invest in helping people find either supportive or permanent housing. We have people who are dedicated to help people navigate through the maze of healthcare. We have people who are dedicated to navigate through social services offerings that are available, that are much needed by our membership. So we really pride ourselves for really being there for our members, supporting them through any needs they have, medical and otherwise, and playing a critical partnership role to the providers and to the members to help them to stay and be as healthy as they can be. And I have to say, what you quoted is real, it's true, and frequently when we reach out to our members to help them with whatever needs they have, they're actually surprised. They're surprised that a health plan will be so involved in their needs, will be so hands-on with the various priorities that they may have. But that's who we are. That's why we're here. That's actually what makes us unique, and that's what we're proud of.
Well, thank you. And you certainly, when you think of the great health plans in our country, the United, the Aetnas, the Cignas, the Blue Crosses, you never really think of them in the role that you described the New York City plan that you run. I mean, it's the first time that United calls to ask me about my housing and how I'm doing and am I okay will be the first time that they call me to do that, the first time they call anybody. And that's not a knock on them. It's just never been how they perceive the business that they're in. Very different positioning for New York City health plans. Dr. Schwartz, take a moment and talk to us about your sort of three priorities this year for the health plan. What do you see as the three big priorities?
Right. So top three priorities are essentially making sure that our members have access to care that they need, making sure that their health needs are not somewhat neglected because of fear of exposure to the coronavirus, identifying who may have critical needs and connecting them to safe care is on the top of the list. Continuing to be heavily involved in assisting with our members' needs outside of their medical care, as I mentioned before, is a given for us. Additionally, making sure that we are well aligned with the delivery system, both with health and hospitals and the rest of our network, and working together to serve our members, patients is now really critical more than ever. And helping New Yorkers get health insurance coverage obviously has always been a priority for us, more so with guaranteed care that was announced by Mayor de Blasio early in 2019, but certainly now during the COVID pandemic and kind of the consequences of the pandemic. I think there has been a more critical time to make sure that New Yorkers are covered and have access. And although not in the top three, still absolutely critical is to make sure that we remain financially strong despite all of the budgetary cuts that are currently happening in New York State.
Thank you. And when you think about COVID-19 and its impact on insurance companies, can you give us a little insight into that?
Yes. So we're seeing opposing phenomenons occurring during COVID. On one hand, obviously, we are seeing significant usage around COVID, right? Testing, whether it's for the actual antigen or the antibodies. We're seeing admissions that are more prolonged and more involved. A lot of the admissions ending up in an intensive care unit. On the other hand, we are also seeing a significant decrease in more of the kind of health maintenance utilization, as such as seeing your PCP or seeing a specialist or doing kind of part of the routine care. We're also seeing a somewhat concerning trend, an understandable one, but nevertheless concerning, with a decrease in immunizations. And we are concerned, together with the provider community, that especially the younger population, the infants and toddlers, are not receiving the appropriate timely immunization, and concerned about a potential wave that will stem from inadequate immunization in this population. Additionally, we are seeing a significant uptake in telemedicine. And that's a combination of existing providers in our network who are now offering telemedicine to their patients, as well as adding a telemedicine vendor. We happen to use American Well that offer both urgent visits, behavioral health visits, and more of maintenance visits to support members who currently do not have other access to their regular providers.
How much are you concerned, you mentioned this, about patients delaying care, not getting diagnosed for cancer, not treating themselves for heart conditions, not doing the regular visits and checkups, and a whole host of other things, not taking their vaccines, you mentioned, because they've been scared to go to the hospital or health system due to concerns about COVID-19? How much of a concern is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it is a concern. So far, we're talking about just a few months delay. If we see this delay continue, for additional months or even all the way throughout the end of the year, that concern will certainly grow. What we have done proactively was actually look through the profile of our membership to see who are the members who are at the highest risk for not receiving kind of this maintenance care, for not receiving the appropriate screening, and proactively reaching out to them and making sure that they are actually plugged in safely and appropriately back into care, so that there are no significant consequences to the delay that people are experiencing.
Dr. Schwartz, I'm going to ask you one more question. I could talk to you actually for hours because it's so interesting what you do and the perspective on health, but it's literally fascinating. Take a moment and talk about one to two or three pieces of advice you would have for leaders. How would you encourage other leaders to approach leadership?
Yeah. And I have to say that I have a new angle to how I view leadership after what we just experienced with the pandemic. So I would say it's absolutely critical to be flexible, to be fearless, and have a team that you can count on. Things change all the time, clearly, and although one may not be prepared for every possible scenario or figure out every possible scenario, so we just experience or still experiencing, it is so crucial to be flexible in your approach and adjust and course correct as you go, because those adjustments are inevitable. Nobody has it 100% right all the time, especially when the circumstances are so different from what you are used to and so unique. So being flexible, understanding where the course correct needs to happen is inevitable. As a leader, you really must make bold decisions to make a real difference. So having the facts, understanding the consequences is important, but then jumping all in is the way to make bold difference. And then finally, when you run an organization, having a team who is passionate, who's capable, and who is really dedicated will help ultimately the leader to drive towards the goal and make the company successful.
Well, I love the thoughts on flexible, fearless, and nothing gets done without a magnificent team around you. I think are just magnificent leadership thoughts. I would ask you for your thoughts on the handling of all the crises by Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo, but I'm going to do everything I can to keep all of my guests out of any kind of trouble this week, so I'm not going to ask you.
Much appreciated.
Dr. Schwartz, I want to thank you tremendously for your time today. Just fascinating for me to listen to you and hear what you do and how you think about it. Just a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.